to share with you for just a few minutes before we do what's my favorite part of our service, which is the lighting of the candles. But I'm so glad that you are all here with us and have taken part in our Christmas Eve service and making this a part of your Christmas holiday. It's special to me. It's special to this church, and this is a fun night. So, and then just as a quick disclaimer, if you've got kids and you're like, man, my kids are not being quiet, it's okay. It's Christmas Eve. We don't care tonight. So Sunday mornings, we care. No, I'm kidding. But tonight, it's all good. And like Lawrence mentioned, if you feel like you need to step out, feel free to step out. We've got the cry room on the other side, or if you want to go in there as well. So, and also, at the end of the service, don't forget, Santa will be out in the lobby for photographs with the families. So let me share just about what makes Christmas so important to you and I this evening. Listen, how many of you have never been on the internet before? Anybody never used the internet before? I saw, that's a lie, you've used it. Unless you've never been on the internet, or you haven't had access to television over the past roughly 20 years, you have encountered the cultural phenomenon that is the Hallmark Christmas season, right? We've all encountered it in some capacity. It is remarkable that at this point now, it has transcended one genre, just simply films, and it now exists within pop culture. It's a part of fashion. You can get Hallmark Christmas shirts and things like that. Probably even politics, if we're just being honest about it, right? Every year, Hallmark pumps out a gauntlet of Christmas movies. Has anybody watched all 40 this year? Yeah? Okay, all right. We have a special prize for you at the end of the service. Every year they pump out a ton of movies with story plots that are honestly as predictable as rain in Washington, right? This year alone they gave us 33 new movies, which actually brings their grand total to over 300 Hallmark Christmas movies since 2009. That's a lot. That's a lot. In 2018, over 70 million people, they tuned in to get their Christmas cheer from Hallmark. And believe it or not, there is an actual fan club that has created a Hallmark Christmas convention. You can go to it. It's $50 a person, and you can have the time of your lives. Now, I promise this message is not about Hallmark, but there's a connection that I don't want to miss today. Pamela Rutledge, she's a behavioral scientist at Fielding Graduate University. She actually kind of like did a study on this, and she explained a few things regarding the formulaic plots and predictability and how these things are so rewarding to us and why so many people keep coming back to them year after year after year. And this is what she said. She said, the lack of reality at all levels, from plot to production, signals that the movies are meant to be escapism entertainment. The genre is well-defined and our expectations follow. This enables us to suspend belief. It provides a break, right, from the stress of the holidays that we all encounter. But I think we can take it even a step further. It's the same reason why we love Christmas classics like No Place Like Home for the Holidays, or The Christmas Waltz, or any number of things that create nostalgia. It's why we look through Christmas cards, and maybe you've collected Christmas cards from previous years, and you look back on them, and they fill your heart with warmth. It's why we go to great lengths to try to pull everything off every single Christmas season and try to make it the greatest Christmas ever. And if you have kids, you know this to be true. You will move mountains to make Christmas special. And the reason why is it's because we're drawn to an idea or an image, not only of sentimental nature, but of something we want but usually just don't have in life. We love the idea of our families getting together. We love that. We love when kids are playing with their new gifts, and right, you have the idyllic image, and they're sitting around the fire peacefully playing with their hand-carved wooden trucks, right? And mom and dad are sitting there sipping their lattes, and you know, in 10 minutes, you guys are going to read the doxology together, and it's just going to be this But people laughing and snow falling and candles, we're drawn to this kind of stuff. But that's not real life, is it? See, where Hallmark is filled with tradition and warm fuzzies, real life is often non-traditional. Real life is often complicated. Real life is often dysfunctional. And so I want to read to you. You know what? That's good. I like that. We're going to have Christmas at your house tonight. Let me read to you from Luke chapter 2. This is the Christmas story. It tells us, in those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. Everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. Now, I don't know how many times you have read that portion of Scripture. I don't know how many times you've heard that portion of Scripture. But if you're like me, it's easy sometimes to kind of imagine like a warm barn where everybody's cuddled together. And the animals are just relaxing around Joseph and Mary. And little baby Jesus is sweetly cooing in his clean hay, right? But that's not at all what it was like. I mean, if we're honest for a moment, this is not exactly a Christmas card worthy situation. Jesus' first Christmas, it wasn't spent in a nice home with a traditional family. But instead, it was spent in an outhouse for animals with an unwed mother and an adoptive father. Jesus' family story is quite complex, but it can bring comfort to those of us who also have not experienced that Hallmark Christmas family. From the moment of Christ's conception, he demonstrates something profound to you and I today. He is Emmanuel. He is with us. He is God with us. And he is God with all of us. He's with those who seem to have it all together. And he's also with the marginalized, the poor, the broken, the searchers, and the needy. See, what makes Christmas so special is that Christ's nearness belongs precisely to those who seem excluded from it. When Jesus came to earth, here was his grand plan. It was to expand his family. He didn't want to just have an exclusive, he wanted to expand his family. He came so that you could have a seat at the table, that you could be part of the greatest family to ever exist. Jesus' birth and his family look nothing like you would expect the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords family to look like, right? His birth was nothing like you would expect it to be. But it doesn't matter. And that's why it's so good for you and I. His small, non-traditional household extended God's blessing to the world through the birth of Jesus. And that household expands to embrace each of us today. Christmas, here's the deal, it's for everyone. Jesus' story is for everyone. Nothing disqualifies you from Jesus, and nothing disqualifies you from Christmas. Throughout the Bible, we can read about people with very questionable lifestyles, right? We can read about people who have made pretty bad choices, bad decisions, strained relationships, trust issues, like failed endeavors. And yet, that's who Jesus came for. The story of Christmas is one of hope. It's one of redemption. It's one of love. And it's one of acceptance for all who believe. And it's through Jesus that every single one of us in this room or watching online have access to a life that's far greater than any Hallmark movie could ever paint or any Christmas card could show us. I'm going to invite the ushers up. I told you I wasn't going to take too long. And for those of you that have small kids, you're like, thank you. We're going to light candles in just a moment, and the ushers are going to come forward, and I'll give some instructions. But I want to just kind of set the table here for this. In 1818, on Christmas Eve, in a small parish church in what is present-day Austria, there was a young Catholic priest. His name was Joseph Mohr. Maybe you know who he is. He presented a poem to a local composer named Franz Gruber. And he did it in hopes to have it performed that night at Christmas Eve Mass. Now, Franz Gruber put together a melody, did the best he could on short notice, and he created what we now know as the song Silent Night. That's where its birth comes from. Now, it is not hard to imagine that Christ's birth was anything but silent. He wasn't in a nice birthing center, right? He's either in a barn or a cave, one or the other, and neither of them are ideal with animals. And it's not a silent moment. But neither are our lives, right? And yet, even in the midst of the chaos of life, even in the midst of the busyness of life, even in the midst of the great ice storm of 2022 here in Western Washington, people scrambling to get all their stuff done today, and if you were stuck in Safeway's checkout line like I was for 2 hours, then God bless you. But even in the midst of that, Christ's arrival shines brightly. Listen, you don't have to have it all together to be part of God's family. You don't have to have been raised a certain way to be a part of his family. You don't have to have read certain books or have a certain level of education or a certain amount of zeros in your bank account. You don't need a pedigree or anything like that. You don't need anything that we sometimes tell ourselves is required in order to receive God's love. All you need is this silent night, this holy night, and an opportunity to give God your shortcomings, your brokenness, your mistakes, your victories as well as your losses. All you need to do is to invite him to be your King of Kings and your Lord of Lords. To be the Lord of your life. To be the Prince of Peace in your life. So listen, if that's you today, would you pray with me? I'm just asking everybody to bow their heads. If you need Jesus this Christmas, which honestly, every one of us should have our hand raised saying, yeah, I need Jesus this Christmas. Would you just pray with me? Lord, I'm so thankful that tonight we did all this cool stuff. And we sang these carols and the kids did a great job. And we've seen family and we've seen friends and we're going to celebrate everything that comes with Christmas. But most importantly, I'm so thankful for the reason why we celebrate those things. It's because your son came to earth as a little baby in need of care, that needed to be raised, that needed to face everything that you faced, and one day overcame the grave and conquered sin I'm thankful that that's why we celebrate Christmas. And so for those of us that are here tonight and we don't feel like we're worthy of your love, I pray that you would just penetrate through those barriers. God, for those that want to encounter you, Lord, we just pray, God, forgive me of my shortcomings. Forgive me of my sins. Forgive me of my mistakes. I've tried to do this thing on my own, or I've tried to fulfill it with all these other things, and it's not working. I need you. Lord, you are already there. You are Emmanuel. You are here with us. So would we allow you to work in our hearts? And as we light these candles and we sing this song, would you be honored in your name?